Well, this weekend, everyone said goodbye to a legend, Muhammad Ali, passing away over the weekend after an incredible career and an incredible life, one of the most towering figures, not just in American sports, but in 20th century American history. That, of course, is our top sports story locally and nationally and internationally, really. And to break down sports news, we've got Debbie Stroman on the phone, Dr. Deb Stroman of the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School joining us now. Thanks for joining us, and what can you say about Muhammad Ali?
Well, certainly, as you mentioned, the world is celebrating his life. Truly a treasure to America, to the world. But I'm reminded of what Mr. Ali said. He said that boxing was nothing. It wasn't important at all. Boxing was just meant as a way to introduce me to the world. And I think that really summarizes why we are seeing such an outpouring of respect, of love, of storytelling, of ways that he's touched many people from all walks of life around the world. And when you look at the people that Ali listed to speak at his funeral, you know, having Billy Crystal, a comedian, having President Clinton, the politician, just the diverse number in Bryant Gumbel from the sports world, having those three speak at his funeral speaks to the different ways that Ali touched so many people.
And obviously so many different people expressing emotions and remembering and talking about his legacy, which again goes so far beyond sports. And this has been an issue in the past, and is certainly going to be an issue with Muhammad Ali. This is someone who has become over the years just such a sort of universally recognized and beloved American icon. You forget, or you can forget, just what a radical figure he was and how controversial he was, and in all of the celebration and everyone jumping on board to praise Ali and remember his life and legacy, you forget the legacy that he actually left.
And that's exactly right. Going from Cassius Marcellus Clay, his father's name, to converting after at the age of 22, after winning the championship from Sonny Liston, he denounced that slave name. He converted to Islam, and not the traditional Islam, but the Nation of Islam, which was very much known as a black radical militant religious organization in America. And then, of course, his refusing to serve in the Army. And he was quoted as saying, "I ain't got no quarrel with them Viet Cong," talking about how he received more abuse, more attacks, more negative attitudes here in white America versus brown and black people from around the world. And so at that point, there was definitely an era when America was wrestling with race matters, not that much has evolved to today, but it was much more contentious. Everything from your legal to your social to your economic relations, America was in a war, so to speak, and yet having such a prominent person, and we have to remember that the heavyweight championship meant everything to America. Today, the heavyweight championship for boxing is not as prominent, but back then, it was everything. It's how we represented ourselves against Germany, against other countries. But to take this proud black man who made these statements, who got a lot of people upset, and then, over a time period, he became one of the most beloved athletes in America, also around the world, but in America, we embraced him. Even though there was a time period, for example, the New York Times, they continued to print the slave name Cassius Clay, even though he said, "Please don't do that, I've changed my name." Even though we had our justice system sentence him to imprisonment for 5 years, and our State Department even took away his passport so he couldn't even fight outside the country. After all of that, now look where we are today, a man of grace, a man who represented us in the Olympics with the torch, just someone who really touched hearts and brought us together in many regards. It's just amazing, that transformation.
Speaking with Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler, Business School sports commentator, and sort of really is the issue that we talk about Muhammad Ali as this great iconic figure. And a lot of the people who talk about Muhammad Ali as this great iconic figure, and I'm thinking of Donald Trump right now, who tweeted something to that effect over the weekend. At the same time, we'll turn around 5 seconds later and express all of the exact same views about Muslims and foreign policy and war and African Americans in the U.S. that Muhammad Ali spoke out against vocally for his entire life. So how do we, as individuals and as a society, and this happens every single time you have a controversial yet iconic figure pass away, how do we avoid that sort of cognitive dissonance? How do we remember Muhammad Ali for who he really was?
Well, I think part of it is the human spirit to be gracious in death, in that we like to not remember the ugliness, the particular behaviors that people who have passed away have done to hurt or to harm or to maim others. We want to be kind and we want to be respectful to the family. But then there are those who transcend all of that and will remember that, but will still uplift them and say, despite this or despite that, then we're still going to applaud and look for the beauty in that person. But certainly when you have persons who express things that are very, very negative about someone who's passed away or about their people or about their ways, we all kind of put our, you know, we question and we say, for example, Donald Trump, how can you say this and yet out of the other side of your mouth or 10 minutes later, you're saying things that that person who has passed away would turn in their grave or would grieve about. And so that's where I really have great respect for Muhammad Ali, because he talked about how his true religion, Islam, is a beautiful, loving religion. And it takes Muslims like himself to call out those jihadists and others who would want to take the Quran to and twist its words, twist its language to hurt and harm others. He is one of the few prominent Muslims that have repeatedly come out in public and say, that is not my religion. The things that are happening that are so ugly, the terrorism, that is not my religion. And so we continue to hope that others will stand up, not only to help galvanize those in that faith, but to also call out those like a Donald Trump who would say such mean-spirited things, and especially in a time period like this, when we need more healing, we need to utilize the power of sport to bring us together. But I sit in question too, Aaron, how someone, in such a person with the microphone, so to speak, would say such ugly things, and then at the same time say something loving. It's almost like you've got a mental breakdown. That's the only way I can explain it.
But important to recognize, and this is a really good point that you just made, that and Muhammad Ali shows us the way, among other people, that you don't have to choose between criticizing Donald Trump or criticizing the jihadis. You can and should criticize both.
That's right. I think if you look at all of the major religions, the foundation is love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can, you know, lean on that tenet first and be open and welcoming to the various faiths. But if we focus on love, I think we can all live together. We can play together. But I think when it gets to the point when we're talking about control and greed, and then we start saying one is better than the other, and of course that goes from the system level to an individual, as in I am better than you and you are less than me. That's where it just gets ugly, and we end up with everything from economic, again, to social, to political trappings, and we lose sight of what I believe, that there is a God that is welcoming to all faiths as long as we put love first.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. And ordinarily, we start on the court and we shift off the court. This week, we start off the court. But before we let you go, let's shift back on the court and talk about the other big sports story that everyone's following, which is the NBA Finals. Golden State Warriors with a 2-0 lead on Cleveland don't appear to be having any trouble with the Cavaliers, even though Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson haven't been pouring in the points. Does Cleveland still have a chance?
I'll tell you. Those first two games were very, very telling. Now, if you're in the Cavs locker room, if you're Coach Lou, you sit back and say, great team that won on their home court. Mm-hmm. Now it's our turn. And so you can be hopeful with that. Having the best planet on the earth, regardless of whether or not you think he's playing very well or whether or not you think he's struggling, you still have the best player on the planet, and he's at home. So the substitutes, the bench, which I talked about, which would be key for this series,
yep,
they tend to shoot better at home. So there's a good chance that the series will be 2-1, and then that game four will be critical for both sides. There is a chance that the Warriors could sweep Cleveland because they blew them out in Cleveland earlier this year. Right now, Nate Silver is saying that the Warriors have a 69% chance to win the NBA Finals. Can Cleveland really win four games out of the six? Well, who would have thought, and very few did, except those in the Warriors' locker room, that they could come back from 3-1 against Oklahoma City. So I think tomorrow night's game, Wednesday, is going to be really, really big. All eyes will be on the screen. Kevin Love has been diagnosed with a concussion, whether or not he'll play in game three, because now it's in the official NBA protocol. Like, he can't just say, oh, I'm going to run out there. For safety issues, legal reasons, he's really got to go through the various tests to make sure that he can go out there and play. I'm not giving up hope on the Cavs because I just really want Cleveland to get their ring in some professional sport. But if Warriors come through, Harrison Barnes continues to be a great part of the Warriors team, I'll be happy for the Warriors as well. But it's just a very, very compelling series. Not so much because it's, 2-0, but the way in which the Warriors have imposed their will on Cleveland.
I got to let you go, but again, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School Professor Dr. Deb Stroman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.